It was enough time, and it was the reason we made that decision to delay for the first 4 days of instruction after Martin Luther King Day was to give us that opportunity to get all of our students and our faculty and staff back on campus and to deliver at least one negative COVID-19 result before classes started last Monday. And so I think that worked out great for us, because otherwise we were greatly concerned. If you got to remember, you're talking about a campus environment of more than 50,000 students and about 11,000 or so faculty and staff. And yeah, we have this enormous COVID-19 test, but you can only do so many tests per day. And we know sometimes people wait until the last minute to come back to get tested. And so we wanted to preclude that by having a longer ramp period for folks to deliver their first negative test. And the other reason for doing it, frankly, was that with the new CDC guidelines about a 5-day quarantine isolation period, it provided enough time for if someone did test positive, they could isolate or quarantine, and then hopefully would minimize the amount of time that they would miss.
This is a time when many parents, maybe around the state, are deciding whether their soon-to-be first-year students should go to the U of I in the fall. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you tell those parents about COVID precautions and being safe on campus?
Well, I take great pride in saying that, you know, relative to our peers and most places we know, we have the most effective COVID-19 mitigation ecosystem of any place in the country, and I would go so far as to say any place in the world. Again, it's been data-driven. It's been driven by the best information we can get from all those critical external experts and our own experts. And it accredited, and you combine that with this best-in-class saliva-based COVID-19 testing ecosystem that not only gives you a quick and timely response to whether or not you're COVID positive or negative. And, you know, last year we tested everybody twice a week, and we created this digital app, Safer Illinois app, that provided a notification system, kind of a passport, if you will, and hired ambassadors to check your status, whether you were granted access to the building or not. And so when you put all that in place and you roll that forward, you know, another year, 1 year, 9 months, 12 months later, and we have this new variant thrown at us, those basic tools and that basic data-driven strategy that we created back in 2020 and kept us well through 2021 is very much played a role in keeping this community safe now. And to add to that, those elements, we did ultimately require / mandate vaccinations. And we're very, very proud that if you're looking at our undergraduate student population, about 95% of them are vaccinated. Almost 97% of our graduate students, 91-92% of our faculty. And that is critically important, because notwithstanding of some different opinion, you're better off in the middle with this Omicron variant if you're vaccinated, and better off still if you're boosted. And we have to remind people that a lot of the hospitalizations, 60-70%, most of it, the people that are hospitalized, and most of the death are among the unvaccinated people. And so you add all of that in, I think, regarding what we've created, the data that we use to keep people safe, the mandates, if you will, that we put in place were not done haphazardly. It was driven by data. And so we think we have even more evidence that the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is probably the safest place to be in the state of Illinois, if not the safest place to be in the country and in the world. And so parents should have, we've heard this from parents as well, a great deal of satisfaction and great deal of support for the ecosystem that we've created.
University of Illinois Board of Trustees recently approved a 2% increase in tuition and fees for the 2022-23 school year. Base tuition for in-state students will now be $12,474. Is it still affordable to go to school here at U of I?
Oh, very much so. And I can't emphasize enough, one of the platforms of my administration since I came here 5.5 years ago was access and affordability. And we want to continue to build on the historic commitment of this university to provide an amazing education at an affordable price. And I remind you that for six out of the last 7 years, we have not had a tuition increase at this university. And the tuition increase that was passed and was supposed to be implemented in 2020, technically was implemented, but the students didn't pay for it. The administration put forward to the Board of Trustees that we would have to cover those costs, primarily because of COVID-19. And so, and I remind you that the way that the state has structured tuition increases, if you are part of the cohort that's getting a tuition increase, like the one that was just passed, won't be implemented until the fall. That commitment stays with that student group for the four years of matriculation at this university. So it's not spread across all groups. And so the students that were supposed to pay full tuition in 2020 didn't actually start paying until 2021. And that will be their rate for the remaining 3 years of their tenure. And the ones that have been will be coming in the fall will be paying this $12,474 for 4 years. So it's not an across-the-board increase the way you see at most universities.